We're in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Katamathion. Katamathion means what? What is Katamathion? What? According to Matthew. Thank you, Ron. You got an A+ today. Katamathion, the gospel according to Matthew. I would like for you to pray for me. Pray for my wife and my daughter. They say I'm dying and I don't have very long. And that's the absolute fact. They need to try to save my life. They said I have to go to UCLA and have a dialysis. I have mercury almost 500% higher than maximum in my life, in my body, and arsenic, real heavy. The arsenic will go away, they said. Huh?
How do you get it?
They say it came from the chemicals out there and the ground and the water or whatever. Yeah. Or food. The doctors told me I either ate it or it got on me or I drank it, one or the other.
Mercury,
but anyway, mercury comes from everything, including the human feces that they're dumping all over out there. Anyway, pray. My wife and Dakota are both, they had their blood test. There's a lot of people sick out there where I am. So pray that they'll find out what it is and maybe be able to turn it around. My body is just absolutely dying. I've been telling Marilyn Dakota for the last month or so, I said, every day I get up, I just barely feel like all night long my heart hurts so bad that I can't sleep and my muscles hurt all over and cramps and everything. And it's all from the arsenic and the mercury. That's what it's from. So anyway, pray for me. I want to give the Lord every day that I can give Him until I am gone. That's why I'm here. And I got up here and preached. I did a funeral Friday. I thought I should have been planted instead of the other person. But I did it. I told them I was very sick, and they said, "We don't want anybody but you. I'll be there." So I was there, and it went over. I made it one more time. And this morning, I'll do my best for you. I want to give this. We put up nearly 100 classes on the website this week, I believe. All together, just they're going up right and left. We're trying to get everything out there that we can, and that's my legacy. What I'm doing here is doing the best. The last 20 years of my life have been the most productive years of my life, and I hope I end it that way. I hope I don't. It's taken my mind away from me. I cannot concentrate. You know that I've been losing my thoughts and stuff lately. That's part of this. That's part of the side effects of it. Also, you're very confused. But I do the best I can. I'm tough or wouldn't live through this. But anyway, Brother Montana, it is so wonderful to have a young man that's studying to be a missionary in our class. Would you come up here and lead us in prayer this morning? Would you mind doing that?
It's only under the knee.
It is a pleasure to pass the baton on to people like him. Go ahead, brother.
Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this day and thank you that we have a chance to be in this class and just learn from your word. And I pray for our brother that you'll just help him to you'll just heal his body, dear God, if it's your will, and you'll just make his last days here for you, dear God. In your name, amen.
Amen. We all ought to live each day as if it's our last. I did an Indian funeral. See, they had the other Indians to do this Indian funeral the other day. They wanted an Indian funeral. And many of you have you read the book that I wrote, An Introduction to the Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian, When the Owl Calls Her Name? That's basically what I based it on. Well, John, the 14th chapter.
I
want
that book too, the
Magical
Therapy thing, about my internship.
Yeah.
Signed the book.
Yeah.
He wanted it.
Yeah. Anyway, I did that. We ought to live each day as if when the owl is going to call your name. We don't know how long. I mean, I know I'm dying. That day just told me that. And I can feel it, and I knew it was coming on. I didn't know how. I knew every day that I could be dead. I didn't know whether I'd wake up any morning. I didn't expect, but I knew what I was going to do the next day if I lived.
Well, that's good. Yeah, good.
I knew what I was going to do. I'm going to study. I was going to try to finish the book of Genesis, and I'm going to try to preach to you. And that's it. That's what I'm here for. Not here for anything else. That's it. You're not here for yourself. You're here for others. You're here for to carry out the gospel, to carry out the commission that we have as members of God's churches. All right. Our message today is a costly sacrifice and a costly mistake. A costly sacrifice and a costly mistake. Matthew, the 26th chapter. I may be dying, but maybe I can get one more sermon out, and I'll do it one this afternoon too, the Lord willing, and He gives me the grace to do it. And I'll be here Wednesday too if something doesn't happen. 26.
We're going to pray up for you, Jim. You'll be fine.
Well, I'll be... The Lord has kept me alive. I will be here until He is finished with me. That I can guarantee you, because I should have died 500 times. A doctor the other day at Kern Medical Center, he said, "What are you up here at a county hospital for?" You know, like that. And I said, "Well, they say you're the only one that can help me." He said, "You're dying." He said, "There's nothing I can do for you."
What a nice doctor.
Yeah, he said, "You've got cancer. You've got," he said, "it's active." He said, "You've got heart trouble and you're poisoned." He said, "What am I going to do? You know, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Talk to your God." And I said, "Well, I already have." I said, "I'm here." I said, "You don't know half the story, boy." You don't know how many angels I wore out in my life. I'm just wearing one more out. There's a whole bunch of them out there right now who've got toxic poisoning. Anyway. And it became, and it came to pass when indeed, when it came to the end, the Jesus all... Oh, I'm reading it in Greek. I better go back. Back to English a little bit more. I get confused, as you can see. And when Jesus had finished saying all these things, He said to His disciples, His habitual learners, His mathetes, those disciples, all right? Those disciples, mathetes, habitual learners. That's one that just is a habit of learning. A habit of learning. As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over. You know that word handed over there, it's just like you hand over a baton. When we finish this life, we hand a baton, we hand our work and our ministry over to somebody else. Alright? And the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Now here is the disciples here, and they're listening to Him, and He is powerful. This is the man that created the heavens and the earth. This is the man that holds all things together. And He tells them that He's going to be handed over and He's going to be crucified. They don't quite understand that. Maybe they should have read Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 just a little bit closer. He quotes Psalm 22 in verse 1, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, on the cross of Calvary, doesn't he? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He must have said it in two different languages, in Hebrew and in Aramaic, because it's quoted in two different languages.
Talking about Jesus, right?
What? Yeah. I'm talking about Jesus, yeah. They thought He was calling Elijah because they couldn't even understand Hebrew. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled. The devil's hounds. In the palace of the high priest. Now we remember when I showed you the pictures where they still know where Caiaphas' house was. Right there in those catacombs there, down, that's where Jesus was tried, whose name was Caiaphas. And they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly, look at that word sly there, in some sly way. Let's look at that word for just a minute. They're going to consult it. That word there, sly, is guile. You know what guile is? What's guile?
Guile.
Guile. 23 and 26 and verse 3.
The chief priest and the...
Yeah. And 4. And verse 4. What's your say? What? Secretly. Guile. Guile. That means deceitfully. Deceitfully. How are they going to arrest him? Deceitfully. They didn't go out there and arrest him in the daylight. I tell you what, my grandfather killed a lot of men, old Sam Paul, but he did say one thing before he killed him. He said, "This is Sam Paul, U.S. Marshal, you're under arrest." At least he told him that. And there was charges. There was no charges with Jesus. But during the feast, but not during the feast. They wanted to arrest him in some sly way and murder him. Murder him. Murder. These are religious guys that they're going to murder. How many religions in the world today murder? There's two religions in the world, well, actually three religions in the world that are murderers, that have always been murderers. Name them.
Catholics.
Muslims. Where do the Muslims learn their murdering from? From the Catholics. The Muslims learn their murdering devices from the Catholics. Okay? And what else? What other religions? The Mormons. The Danites. You denied the Mormon faith. The Danites came to your house and you dug your own grave and you disemboweled yourself and you slit your own throat and they buried you. All right? The murdering religion. Murder. Okay? Murdering religion. All right? This is a murdering religion right here. A murdering religion.
What's
scary
there?
Huh? Well, you got it all. You got it all, boy. You got it all. I've studied church history quite a little bit. A lot of my life. I spent a lot of my time studying church history and religion. False religion doesn't want to exist with truth. It doesn't. It won't exist. False religion always tries to destroy truth. Okay? But not during the feast because they were religious. We don't want to mess up our feast. We don't want to pollute our feast. And they said, or they might be a riot among the people. Messing up the feast. Let's go do it during the feast. All right, now we go down to verse number 6. John 26 and verse number 6. Now we have a costly sacrifice here. A costly sacrifice. Does anybody know the name of this woman? Most Bible theologians and scholars think this is Mary. Mary. There were more than... By the way, Jesus was anointed twice. Twice. Did you know that? This isn't the only time this happened to him. This happened twice. I believe Mary Magdalene did one, and Mary, the rich little girl in Bethany. Okay? Mary and Martha and Lazarus were Jesus' close friends evidently all of his life. They were very close friends to Jesus. And they were very wealthy. And they shared their wealth, though. They took care of people. They were very hospitable. Very hospitable. Back in those days, we find that people went from one home to the other. The early churches went and assembled not in church houses. That didn't happen until Constantine the Great. You know, church houses weren't built until Constantine the Great. That's when? 300 and something. Around 350 A.D., 332 to 350 A.D., that's when they started building church houses. Otherwise, they went from house to house. And women love to entertain. They love to cook, and they love to entertain. And Martha means what? Martha. Come on, what's Martha mean? Martha.
No, Martha.
I think I can spell this. I think it's something like this. Maybe. Can't remember how it is, but like that, Martha. Martha means lady. She was a real lady. Okay? Martha was a real lady. Her name means lady. And she was always worried about getting enough food for everybody, having enough wine, getting the right bowls out, and the towels to feed people to wash their hands and wash their feet, and enough food for everybody. And she was always worried about this all the time, okay? Always worried about it. And Mary, what did Mary do? What was Mary's... what was her idea? What was her personality? What did she do? She was a lazy bummer. As some women would say, no, she wasn't. Her sister said, she's no good. Make her come and help me. Didn't he one time? Then Martha asked Jesus to make her sister come and help her with the food. And what did Jesus tell her at that time? Sometimes it's more important to listen than to eat. Or clean house or wash the dishes. Sometimes it's more important to listen. I remember one time, how long has it been since we had that Paul family reunion at our house, Marilyn?
Oh,
August.
It's a year ago in August.
Yeah.
Okay, a year ago in August. Marilyn prepared food for about 100 people. We had all kinds of food. All kinds of food. Had all these people from all over the country, from Oregon, Oklahoma, everywhere, all the Paul family reunion, we got all together at my house, and she had enough food for 100 people, and they wouldn't eat. They won't eat. They were, what were they doing, Marilyn? Talking. they were visiting, talking. You know what? They hadn't seen each other. They never saw each other. They'd heard of each other and everything else. And that was more important than food to them. Now, they did eat a little bit later on. They started eating and everything else. We had to...
wanted to look at pictures and talk.
They wanted to look at pictures and talk. Because you know what? You can always get caught up on eating. But how often are you going to see your friends and visit with people that you don't know and share pictures and stuff like that? That was more important, wasn't it? Than all this food. Gobs of food. Gobs of food. Well, Mary and Martha had been used to preparing big meals. I'm sure that Mary helped Martha a lot. But when Jesus was in her presence, what did she think about? What? When Jesus was there, what did she think about? Eating? No. Did she think about cleaning? Scrubbing dishes? Getting the bowls out? What was she thinking about? What Jesus was saying. What Jesus was saying. And this is the only woman, the only person, period, of all the disciples here. Maybe the other Mary too, Mary Magdalene, maybe she knew also, because we know that she also anointed him. Now, Mary and Martha and Lazarus was very rich. He had a tomb. Remember, Lazarus died, and they buried Lazarus in the tomb. They had a rich man's burial for him. They had applied an alabaster jar full of perfume on him. They had anointed him when he died. He was anointed. That's what they did. They anointed the dead. All right. Have you ever heard the old story, I want my flowers before I'm dead? I want flowers now, not after I'm dead, you know? You've heard of that? This is where that story came from. This is the story right here. I don't want flowers at my funeral. I want flowers now. So I can smell them. And when I'm dead, I can't smell them. See? All right. Well, this is where that came from. Now, while Jesus was in the home at Bethany, was in Bethany at the home of a man known as Simon the leper. Now, evidently, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were there, and Mary and Martha probably had provided a lot of the food. Okay? And a woman came in with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume. This perfume is worth about a year's wages. About 300 days' wages. About 300 days' wages. That's a lot. How much is the average wage in America today?
For a unit, for a family?
Yeah, for a person.
I think 19,000.
$19,000 to $24,000
average income.
Okay.
In California.
This is worth about $19,000 to $24,000 in today's wages. This was a lot. Okay. This was a costly sacrifice. Now, probably this was Mary's own perfume that she was going to use at her burial. They would save up money and they would take and they would get this very costly perfume and they would prepare it for their own burial. They'd have this set aside for their own burial. Brother X.
If this was Mary, why didn't they say so?
Well, some of the other people, the other writers say this, okay? This is probably Mary, okay? This is probably Mary. We have it from the other writers. You can go to Mark the 14th chapter 3 through 9 and John the 12th chapter 1 through 11. Okay? And you can look at there also. We won't go and look at all the different things here, but this is probably Mary. Okay? This is who it is. There was another Mary. There was another time that he was anointed. Okay? And in a man, Simon, a leper. Now, we know that this man wasn't a leper anymore, was he? What do you think had happened here to Simon? Simon got healed. Because a leper's house, nobody could walk into a leper's house. Did you know that? Simon had probably been healed by God, by Jesus. His house had been cleansed and certified as livable now. And they were having a party, a dinner party in the house. Boy, now, just think about that. In a diseased a leper ward, so to speak. He was probably rich too, but he had leprosy. But now he was healed. And now he's using his home for the Lord's service. Okay? And a very expensive alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume. And she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. Now, we know that Jesus wasn't sitting at the table, was he, in a chair? You know that. I think I told you that. Back in these days, this is something you can tell your people at school, Dakota. They had couches, pallets on both sides. Sometimes they have a pallet here, a pallet here. How many of you ever seen The Last Supper by that famous artist?
Yeah.
That's all messed up. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all. That's the way they ate in 1500 and 1600. That wasn't like what was going on here. Right here, they had a low table, a table that was very low. Okay? And they would fill this table with food here, okay? And they would lay with their bodies across like this to the table. And their feet would be sticking out in the back.
You like their stomach down?
Yeah. On their sides.
Okay.
All right. Now, these people are laying here all along here like this, okay? Sometimes they would leave this side so somebody could go wait and put the food on the table. Okay? They're having this party. And she was reclining at table. He was reclining at the table, laying up to the table. And when the disciples saw this, they were very mad. And seeing this, the disciples were just absolutely filled with great anger, flaming out with great anger. And saying, and they kept on saying this, what a waste! What a waste this is! What a waste this is! Now we know that from John 12 and verse 4, that who's saying, who is actually saying this? Judas Iscariot saying this. That's the one that was speaking out and said, this is a terrible waste. This is a terrible waste. And the church, you know, we have a church here already. The church is in existence. The church was in existence from the Sea of Galilee when the Lord called it out. By the Sea of Galilee. The church had already been baptizing people, hadn't they? Had they or not? Okay. Did the church have a treasurer? The church had a treasurer. Who was the treasurer? Judas Iscariot. Did the church have apostles? Did the church have apostles? Yes, the church had apostles already. Okay. So here we have, what was the first gift placed in the church?
Apostles.
All right. When was the law? The law and the prophets were under what? Huh? The law and the prophets were until John. And the last, the preaching of the kingdom of God, that's when the Lord, the law was finished back there when Jesus came. When John the Baptist started preaching, he announced the kingdom. The king has come. You have a song, the king has come. Alright? Well, the king was there. And the treasurer is there. And the treasurer is a thief, a klepto. I was talking to a doctor yesterday, and they said they had to have chelation treatment to take this the poisons out of my system. And it had to be a real good one to take the mercury out. That's a very specific. The word chelation means to steal. To steal, that's where it comes, the Greek word is klepto. Kalation is like, comes from klepto, which means to steal. Well, here we have a thief in the church. And his name is Judas, and he has a real good name. Actually, his name is not really Judas. What is his real name? How should we pronounce? Not Judas, but what? How should his name be pronounced? We call him Judas, but what is his name? Yehuda. Judah. Judah. The King James is pronounced his name incorrectly. It should be Judah. Judah. Yehuda. And Yehuda means what? Praise ye Jehovah. That's what we were doing a while ago when Brother Abe was up here leading us in song. We were praising the Lord. All right? Praise the Lord. He had a real good name. All right? A real good name. Well, Judas is really mad. He wants the money because he wants to steal it. He doesn't want to give it to the poor. He said, if this perfume, Judas said this, if this perfume had been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor, a year's wages is what it cost. Verse number 10. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? All right, now the word bothering there means the beating. Why are you beating on her? Why are you verbally beating on her? The word is kalto. It means to chop. It means to chop. We have a pro kalto is a trailblazer. One chops through the forest and everything and leaving a sign of trail, chopping down trees and making a pathway. Why are you chopping this woman's character up? Why are you beating her up? She has done a cologne is what the word is. Cologne. Cologne. That is a spiritually good, beautiful act. What is it in Hebrew? And the earth. God said, let there become light. And he said, and it was tov. Spiritually good. Tov. All right. A beautiful thing to me, the poor, the beggars, you will always have with you. Now, Jesus does not put down the poor. He doesn't put down the poor. In Deuteronomy 15 and verse 11, we find out that God provided for the poor in the Old Testament. God taxed the rich real heavy, about 30 or 40, 50%. That was what the taxes were under the law. He taxed them pretty heavy. Because the rich, you have to hold them back. They have to have bits in their mouth. Is what he said. And their fields, the fields of the rich, he told them every 7 years, the seventh year, you cannot do anything in your fields. It's for the poor. Don't you do anything. Don't you go out there and plant a crop. Let whatever voluntarily comes up in those fields, you let the poor and the animals of the field eat it. It's not yours. What is 1/7? 1/5 is 20%, isn't it? Okay, but this is 1/7. That was the tax. Every 7 years. What happened to Israel when they wouldn't do this? They wouldn't let their land left, huh? Well, no. God took them off and put them in the Babylonian captivity. He let the land rest. The land became desolate. There's a field down there by us. This organic, another thing they told me, and all this thing with this arsenic and mercury and everything else, they said, the farmers here in this country are so greedy that they put all these pesticides on their field and all these chemical fertilizers, and it's full of arsenic. Full of arsenic. And they said, don't buy anything here. Buy it overseas. Because they have rules and regulations over there. And they said, buy your pasta from Italy or France or someplace. Boy, I learned a lot in all this lately, but you know what? It all goes back to the Word, doesn't it? There's a field down by us. If you've got a crop you're going to put in here, and it's going to have organic on the label, I think you've got to let that field set for 5 to 7 years with nothing on it. All you can do is go out there and plow the ground. That's it. Just plow the ground. Plow the weeds down. And down, there's probably 300 acres down by us that has been setting for like 7 years. This last year, they planted a wheat crop, and talk about a crop! You wouldn't believe the crop that they had. That land had been sitting there. The 10 acres next to us, we had sold it to some people, and it had been planted in cotton and alfalfa and everything for many, many years. They never let it set. That land sat there for about 5 or 6 years unfarmed. Boy, when they planted the first crop, I mean, the cotton was high as the ceiling. Boy, and what a crop that was on it. It really worked. God's laws really work. Well, Jesus wasn't saying that, don't worry about the poor. Don't think about the poor. Yes, he always provided for the poor. He always provided for them. All the time. Why are you bothering this woman? He said, the poor you'll always have with you, but me, you will not always have me. Verse number 12. And when she had poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. She was the only one that understood that Jesus was really going to die. Who went to the tomb? Who was the first one to the tomb? She not only understood his death and burial, she understood the resurrection. And this is all brand new now. Jesus has been talking about this, but boy, they've never seen anybody die and raise himself from the dead. Lazarus had to be raised from the dead, didn't he? Jesus raised all these people from the dead. He cleansed all these lepers. He healed the blind. All of this. He did it all. And that one's dead. John the Baptist, when he was when Jesus was going around and healing people and baptizing everybody, his disciples came to him and said, why is he baptizing more people than me? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. He's the king. And then when John the Baptist, right before he was going to be killed, he was going to be executed, beheaded by Herod, you know, Esau's descendant. He sent a real quick messenger to Jesus, and he said, are you the one? Are we supposed to be looking for somebody else? Why? Because he thought that he was supposed to bring in the kingdom. The law was, and the prophets were unto John. After that, the kingdom of God is pre. He thought the kingdom of God had come right among men. And Jesus hadn't taken the reins and run old Herod off, nor run out the Roman Empire or anybody else. He was just going along with the flow. He didn't understand that the first time he comes, he's going to give his life as a sacrifice. The second time he comes, it's Katie barred the door for all the world. Whatever. Katie barred the door. She's prepared me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever their gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Yes, didn't it? How many people that did great deeds in the Bible, and what we think is great deeds sometimes aren't great deeds. Here is Mary. We know that she was the first at the tomb and all of this. We know that she has some prominent. We know that she was very intimate with Jesus all of his life. And Martha. Martha was a worker. Mary was a listener. And she just hung on every word. Hung on his every word. Remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, they, one of them hung on to him. He said, quit clinging to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. She didn't want to turn him loose. She didn't want to turn him loose. He had been raised from the dead. She was so happy. You know, for the last several weeks, every time I preach you, I mean, I say that I was sick. But I felt like I was dying every week, and I guess I should have. The Lord has given me grace to keep on life. But every time I saw every one of your faces, I didn't know what was going to be the last time I looked at you or not. And I tried to honor you and hug you, shake your hand, or do whatever I could do to every time, because that might be my last. That might be the last. Okay? She loved him. She loved him with all her heart. She gave him her burial. There was the other one. Remember one other time when Jesus was anointed with oil and the woman anointed his head with oil, and what did she do to his feet? How did she wash his feet?
With tears.
With the tears, and dried his feet with what? The hairs from her head. Now that's a figurative speech. I'm sure that she was crying. And this one probably is Mary Magdalene, this other one. It's two different times. Here we have this woman anointed his head with oil. This is her burial perfume. Now, Mary Magdalene, a woman. These people are really weird, okay? They're Oriental customs. I mean, I wouldn't call them weird. Maybe we're weird because we don't do that. American Indians did a whole lot of this the same way. They're Oriental, okay?
But they would save all their fingernail clippings,
or their knife.
They would save their navel and keep it, you know, when their navel fall off, you know, after they were born. They'd save all this stuff. And every time that they would cry for sickness or for a wedding, they would save the tears in what they call a tear bottle. How many of you knew this? Anybody know this? Okay, I know you've got the same theology in your house, Brother Bill. Yeah.
That's the only thing they were allowed to own, actually.
Well, they would save all their tears. They would save their tears, all their clippings and everything else. They put them in a little deal. And their hair, when they would comb their hair, they would make a mat out of the hair. It would be like a little cloth, like a tablecloth. And there used to be hair bowls. When a woman would comb her hair, in the old days, they would have a hair bowl out on her vanity, and she would stuff the hair down in there, and then she would take the hair out. This is America also. Go back in some of the old West houses and stuff. And I think it was the movie The Outlaw Josie Wales, when this girl fell in love with him, she gave him a watch fob that was made from her hair. Okay? That's what it was about. She took the cloth that was made from her own hair, and she took her tear bottle that's supposed to be buried with her. When they buried somebody, they took all the clippings of their nails, they took all their tears from all the happiness and all the sadness they'd had in their life, all the weddings and all the funerals, everything in her life. When she was giving birth, they saved those tears too. Can you imagine that girl? Anyway, they saved all of this. This represented all the joy and all the sadness of her life. And they would take this bottle of tears and bury it with her. Mary Magdalene was so carried away with love for Jesus, because he had saved her soul and saved her out of prostitution and a lowly life and low fellows, that she took everything they were going to bury her with, including her burial ointment, and she put it on his head and washed his feet with the tears of her eyes and her tear bottle, and wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. This is a costly sacrifice, people. What can you do for the Lord today? What's your sacrifice? What's your costly sacrifice? What's your costly sacrifice? Are you going to make costly mistakes? You're going to make costly sacrifices in your life. Let's go on and look. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I got my flowers now, not later. I tell you the truth, for wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, that what she has done will also be told in her memory. And we did it today, didn't we? Will that prophecy fulfill today? All right. Now let's talk about the costly mistake. The costly mistake. Judah. Judah, which name means praise Jehovah. Here he comes on the scene. Mark 14:10 and 11 and Luke 22:3 through 6 are cross references to this. Brother Bill, I want you to pay attention to what I'm doing here today. I'm preaching this message from the Bible you gave me.
Oh, okay.
All right, I want you to see that now. I just wanted you to know that. I appreciate all that. See these ties, little things? These are all from my students. I carry them with me wherever I go. Okay? Signs of love. All right? Then one of the 12. This is an apostle. Apostle means what? Apostello. What does that mean?
One sent out with authority.
One sent out with authority. This is an apostle. This man could heal the dead. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. All of this. Cast out demons. But he was lost. He was religious but lost. How many of you, now I asked you, how many of you have seen that movie Left Behind?
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning of that movie, there was a preacher going around doing all kinds of stuff, and you know that preacher wasn't saved. He was just going through the motions, and he got left behind. One of the first things he did is he went to church and fell down on his knees and asked the Lord to forgive him. He said, I don't want to play it. This isn't the playtime religion with me anymore. I was playing religion before. Now I need you in my life. All right. A lot of people are religious,
Look at all them Mormons out there that are religious. They don't know the Lord. All them Muslims, they're very religious. They don't know the Lord. All them Catholics, very religious, but they don't know the Lord. Very religious people. Very religious. I wrote a little note yesterday or the day before. Brother Brett, you saw that thing, that white horse prophecy where Joseph Smith made that prophecy that there would be a prophet come up, that the Mormon church would be so powerful that they would take over the United States, and when the Constitution hanged by a thread, that their leader would come and there would be enough leaders set in place where they'd take over America and turn it into a Mormon theocracy and all of that kind of stuff. Well, I was looking on this website with this Nicene Council group, and they kept putting some of this down there, you know, a little bit, just little bits and pieces about this stuff. What is Mormon's plan for America and all this kind of stuff? And I wrote back. I said, do you know about the white horse prophecy? And he wrote me a letter back. What does it say, Brother Brett? Oh, yes, we know what it is. And he said, well, we're voting for the third party. he said, that's what they said, wasn't it? You can't vote for the Antichrist like that. Anyway, I got this letter back, and they said, here we have a DVD telling about I ordered that DVD. Whether I live long enough to see it or not, I don't know. But religion. And these people think, for sure. These people really believe that they're going the right direction. You know what? Your religion better be founded upon the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. He's not a way. He's not a prophet. He's not a great teacher. He is God the Son that gave His life for you, and that is the only way of salvation. There is no other. There's nothing else. That's it. Let's talk about this costly mistake. Then one of the 12, the one called Judah Issacharios. What's Issacharios mean? All you Hebrew scholars. Issacharios. Ish means what? Man? Karioth? Man from Karioth. Man from Karioth. That's what it means. Man from Karioth. That's where he was born. We call Jesus the Nazarene because he was what? He was raised in Nazareth. Okay? Judas came from Karioth. Man from Karioth. What was Judas? What did he do? What was his occupation? He was an assassin. Ooh. There were two people in Jesus' group that were assassins. They were assassins, people. They were assassins. This is what we call the what? The Sicarii. See, we covered this a little bit before. These were the people that carried the sharp dagger out, and they would go up to a Roman soldier when they caught him out all along and stick it in the pit of his stomach and push it up into his heart and twist it and pull it out and walk off. They say these are the ones that settled the little island of Sicily, the Sicilians, the Sicilian banquets. They did the same thing there. But is it Judas Iscariot was one of them. So he's not too good of a guy to begin with. Evidently he got religious, and those people, those what we call zealots. Zealots. These zealots were very religious. But boy, were they vicious people. Just like the Catholics, and just like the Mormons, and just like the Muslims. Just like them. Just like that. Now, what was Muhammad's cry? What was Muhammad's cry when he when the Christians came on, and when he got his what was Muhammad's cry when he was so exposed to Catholicism? What was his cry?
Tell
me,
he's the only God.
Allah is one. Why did he say Allah is one? Because of the Catholic Church. He said he liked those Baptists. They were harmless, but the Catholics weren't. The Baptists, those little Christians, the Paulicians and all them, they were harmless. But those Catholics weren't. And those Catholics were polytheists. They believed in Mariolatry. Mariolatry had already been formed by them. And he said, Allah is one. There's one God. Now, we believe in a Trinity, but we believe in one God. There aren't three gods. There's just one. We believe in one God. That's where you got the cry, Allah is one. Okay. And he went to the chief priests and asked,
What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? Boy, that's a costly mistake, wasn't it? No matter what they gave him, what would a man give for his eternal soul? What would you give for your eternal soul, Rex, if you were a multi-billionaire? Every dime you got, how much are you going to take into eternity with you? What are you going to leave behind?
Everything.
How many atheists are there going to be in hell? How many atheists are there going to be in hell? Not one. Because when the moment they leave this life, they're no longer atheists. And so they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Now let's look here. That's a costly mistake, wasn't it? What did it cost him? His eternal soul. Because he wasn't granted repentance anymore. He had sealed his doom. There's a time that God will call you to salvation. There was a guy who preached this one time. I got the book at home. I can't even think of the name. It's a red book. Quite a historical Baptist character. I can't think of it. But he talked about sinning away your day of grace. Sinning away your day of grace. God calls all men to salvation. I guarantee you that God convicted Judas' soul. God joined the church. Judas joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. He did go through all the motions, but he didn't repent. He didn't repent. That's something that's very necessary in salvation. You don't repent, you don't get saved. He got baptized. He made all kinds of professions of faith. He healed people. He did all kinds of stuff with the power of God. He had power. But he had no eternal soul. His eternal soul was still sold out to Satan himself, and we know that. And he heard Jesus preach hundreds of times to 10,000, 15, 20, 30,000 people, and there were thousands of people that were saved, but he wasn't. Thousands of people were saved, but he wasn't saved. And now he sells his soul to the devil. There's no more repentance here.
I think he repented for taking the money, but he didn't repent for his soul.
That's right. He repented that he was sorry that he had instigated in the arrest of an innocent man and had caused his death. I think even Judas Iscariot thought Jesus would slip through the crack, because he always had. But when he realized what had happened, he went out and hung himself. And evidently the rope broke. He hung himself above a tall canyon, and he fell out, and his guts were busted out, and his guts fell out on the ground. That's what it says about him. And hand him over. We have another look at old Judas Iscariot in a moment. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations?" Where do you want to make preparations for the Passover? Jesus asked, "Where do you want to make preparations to eat the Passover?" And he replied, "Go to the city to a certain man and tell him, and the teacher says, appointed time is near, and I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples in your house." So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. Now this Passover was probably in John's house. John, the Apostle John. This is probably in his father's house or his family's house here. Okay? Now we're going to have the Last Supper. The Last Supper. The Last Supper. That's where you want to go on to it a little bit, or you want me to turn you loose on the world? You want to look at this a little bit?
On shortcut,
would you? Okay. All right, let's go on. When evening had come and Jesus was laying up to the table again, like this. We got another time he's laying up to the table. "I tell you that one of you will betray me."
Now, he knew this. There wasn't any secrets to Jesus. And they were very sad, and they kept on saying to one another, after another, one after another, "Surely not I, O Lord, surely not I." And Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." They would put, they ate with their hands. I remember Dakota, when we went down to medieval times and they didn't give us any forks or spoons, and Marilyn was really unhappy down there. They didn't give you anything. You drank your bowl of soup, you know, just like they did back down them heathens, you know. Well, but these people didn't have any forks and spoons or anything either, and they were out there just reaching out and getting a piece of meat, and they would dip it in a broth or a gravy, you know. Linda makes that good gravy, you know, Brother Bill. Yeah. Dipping that biscuit in the gravy or that piece of meat in the gravy and sopping it up, and there was a bowl there by Jesus, and Judas reached over there in his hand while at the very same time, and they both put their hand in the bowl at the same time and got a sop of broth. Yes.
It doesn't mean the Passover, went back in the Old Testament where it talks about the Passover. It doesn't say anything about any broth or anything. Where did this come from?
The bitter herbs and stuff. The bitter herbs. Now this is the there was a week of feast. There was a Passover, and the Passover, the Paschal lamb, had to be eaten in one piece, and they had to eat all of it, didn't they? And they're eating every bit of it except for the bones, no broken bones or whatever. They ate all of it. Okay. That's what's going on here. And they had bread. And they would dip the bread in the bitter herbs and the sauces. Okay? And the Son of Man will go just as it's written about him. Woe to this man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him to have not been born. Better for him to have not been born. Now, do you know that the only person that prophesied, the only disciple that was prophesied in the New Testament or in the Old Testament was Judas Iscariot? Or Judah Iscariot. In Psalm 41 and verse 9 and Zechariah 11, 12 and 13, it talks about him betraying Jesus. That he was going to betray him. He would lift up his heel against him, and that he would also, in the house of his friend, that he would betray him. And that's what happened. In Psalm 41 and verse 9 and Zechariah 11, 12 and 13. It's better for him. The one who betrays the Son of Man is woe to him. It's for that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Would have been.
What's the verse right there down there?
This is verse. This is Matthew 26 and verse 25. And Judas, the one who had betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi," called him doctor. And Jesus said, "Yes, you have said it. Yes, it is you." That's what he said to him. Yep, it's you. Judas, I know it's you. Now, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to his disciples, said, "Take it, this is my body." And this is what we call, we have the church here, and now the Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper. This is not the Passover. This is the Passover meal, but he's going to completely do away, nullify the Passover meal, because the Passover lamb has come. The Passover lamb has come.
See if I can find my little book right here.
In the Passover supper, this is what Jesus would have said when he blessed the bread. He said, "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. Barak ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam hamatzi lechem min ha'aretz. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." That's what he did. He took and he broke the bread. That's the term. That's the words that Jesus spoke right there. All right? Those are the words that Jesus spoke. And he gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He did away with the Passover. That's the last Passover. This is the Last Supper. And this is the first Lord's Supper. There's two ordinances in the local church today. Two ordinances in every New Testament church today. What are they? Baptism and the Lord's Supper.
and this is when he instituted, and here this church was there. The church was there. The church didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. It was already there. The church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He said, take, eat, this is my body. And then Mark 14, 12 and 31, and John 13, 1, and then we find over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we see the Lord's Supper Paul talking about. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks and offered them to them the same. All right, now let's see if I can find the cup. All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam borei pri hagafim. He said, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, the kenematos teison flu, in Greek. The fruit of the vine, kenematos teison flu. It doesn't call it wine, by the way, in Greek. It calls it kenematos teison flu, the fruit of the vine, grape juice. But we know that it was wine on that table there. We know that. I just want to tell you that. Because a lot of people argue over wine and grape juice. It says grape juice, but the grape juice was probably wine. I think we'll argue all they want to. It doesn't matter. As long as it's grape juice, it doesn't matter. Okay? You don't want to use soda pop, purple soda water, or nothing like that. No milk. Okay? That doesn't represent the Lord's blood. And they took the cup and gave thanks and offered to them, saying, drink it from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant. There has to be blood in every covenant. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you that I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So this is the last time that he did. Now when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember what he did here. There is no conference. There is no transfer of grace in the Lord's Supper. When I went to, used to go to a little old Pentecostal church, they said, if you take the Lord's Supper, you can't sin all this week. If you sin, God will kill you. Because when you take the Lord's Supper now, it's going to cleanse you. And you're going to be saved. And, of course, the Catholic, not the Catholic, but the Church of Christ do somewhat the same thing. You got to take, they take the Lord's Supper every Sunday morning. By the way, Baptists always took the Lord's Supper on Sunday evening, not Sunday morning. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. All right, right there is where we're going to quit, and right there is where we're going to start next week. All right. Thank you for your attention this week. I hope that you have enjoyed the study of God's Word. God bless you all. Brother Brett.
Okay, guys, we've got some announcements today.